We're doing Tanit. We're up to the third chapter of the fifth Mishnah. We had been discussing the first two chapters. We're discussing the fasts that the rabbis would institute because of lack of rain. And then the third chapter began discussing that there can be intermittent rain or different things that we see happening in the crops that indicate that there's a danger or we see there's a plague coming. So then we automatically start with the most stringent fasts. Mishnah continues and says, Aleinu matrim bechol makom. Over the following issues, we institute a fast and blow shofar all over, throughout the empire. Harashidafon. When we see that there's some kind of wind that causes the grains to lose their seeds, a type of wind that really dries out the crops. Valayirakon, and if we see that the crops are changing colors, they're starting to rot. Alaobe, if there's locust, valechasil, or a different type of locust that's attacking. How do you say locust in Aramaic? Kamtsa. Kamtsa. That's what the Maharal explains when we say the temple was destroyed over Kamtsa and Bar Kamtsa. We're indicating something with their names. The locusts are a unique kind. Like it says in Mishlei, they have no king. They fly in flocks. And each one, a man fends for himself, but together they destroy. So over Kamtsa and Bar Kamtsa, the temple was destroyed.
So what is the kesher?
Ah, for that we have to learn some Maharal.
The locusts are kosher.
Because we see that what you're saying would say the opposite.
Yeah, but
they have no king, but they stick together when they eat yotechotet.
Locusts.
Kamps and Bakamps didn't stick together.
Locusts. Okay.
Locusts.
No, I just didn't understand.
The lack of an ability to appoint a king usually shows a lack of unity. No one's willing to forgo their freedom to have the common good. Like the Philistines.
But also, locusts are not better because they're kosher.
Okay. No one's saying they're good or bad. We're saying the concepts that they can indicate. So we said in Mishnah Hey, for the following things, we automatically go into emergency mode. We make a fast and we blow shofar over the winds and the rotting of the crops, over the locusts. The Mishnah continues and says, when we see in broad daylight that wolves come into the city or lions come into the city, that's abnormal. That's an indication there's danger brewing. V'alacherev, there are enemy forces that are threatening. Matriin alea, so then we blow shofar and we institute a fast right away. Even though you say the forces aren't attacking us. The Syrian forces are advancing to attack Lebanon. They're attacking, Uganda. We say, yeah, but if they're traveling near us, they're a danger to us right now. Mipnei shehi makam alechet. Because we view it as a moving force, a force that's really endangering anyone that's in its path. And if they're near us, then they're a threat to us right now. And this applies not only to the armies, this applies to the wild animals, to the locusts. That's why we say over these, the Mishnah says in the beginning, throughout the empire we blow shofar and we fast. That's why when there were missiles falling in the north, I questioned why we don't apply these laws to the south. Here in Yerushalayim, I said, shouldn't we have all the laws of mourning, of famine, of fasting, of a time of danger, Tam Yisrael? And Rav Avram Shapiro Zatzal told me, no. He said, The dangers in the north, there's no known danger in the south. So we don't have these laws. We pray for them, but we don't have the laws of sadness as in a time of danger. I found that is what he said is backed in halacha, but I don't understand it because of this Mishnah. I don't know. Mishnah Vav.
In the north, did they have to?
In the north, they also didn't do these things. I mean, there are laws when there's a time of war, so couples separate. There are all kinds of actions that we do to show that we're mishtatef v'tzar ha-tzibur.
I don't know.
So it says the custom is that we don't do that anymore.
I don't remember what it was in the Mishnah or whether
I don't know why.
Ethos is so correct.
Huh?
I don't remember if it passed this or what it's going to be, but I mean, there is, it does discuss here a city that has a toa and the cities around it.
We did that, yeah, earlier in the chapter, right? Yeah, so this Mishnah says, Bechol Makom, which we understand to mean throughout the empire, even the distant cities. Mishnah Vav, Maaseh Shiyaredu Zekinim Yerushalayim Lehariyem Megazeru Tanit Al Shenira Kimlofi Tanur Shidafon Be'ashkelon. It happened that the elders from the Sanhedrin went down to their respective cities in Israel, and in each city they instituted a fast, because out in Ashkelon, which it's not clear that Ashkelon was even in our territory then. Ashkelon technically is a Jewish city, but for many years it was in Philistine hands. So when they saw the amount that you could fill an oven, that's not a huge amount, but they saw that amount of crop already started having shidafon, this form of that the wind came and dried it out of all its seeds. So they said, if that's what's happening, if those are the winds that are blowing, so who knows what other cities will be affected and how much it'll spread. And throughout Israel, they declared a fast. And also they declared a fast in Israel, because on the eastern side of the Jordan, two wolves entered the city and ate two babies. Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo al shachlu, lo al shenira. It's not over the fact that they were seen, but rather because they were, it's not over the fact that they ate them, but because they were seen. Yeah. And here again, if you see wolves entering the city, that means the wolves are ready to attack. We have this rule, this was in the Daf Yomi of today. Gemara says, if you're a shomer, you're watching someone's sheep, and the wolf comes and takes away a sheep, so you're considered posha, because one shepherd should be able to take care of one wolf. The Talmud then says, Rabbi Yehuda says, but if the wolves are getting together in packs and attacking, there are times when the wolves start attacking humans, so then even one wolf will take on a shepherd, and the shepherd won't necessarily win him, and then he's not considered posha just because they got away with the sheep. So we see there are times when the wolves get riled up against humans, and that's a danger, even to adults. So here, where two wolves entered the town and ate babies, so they made a famine throughout Israel, they made a fast throughout Israel, because they recognized the danger to everyone. Mishnah Zayin, Alelu Matrin B'Shabbat, over the following things, we would pray and make a fast, even on Shabbos. What are the things that we make, that we request, we daven before Hashem, even on Shabbos? Al Il Sheikifua Goyim, if there's a city that's surrounded by non-Jews. So the city's in danger, it hasn't been captured yet. The fact that the city's being surrounded, all Jews start making extra prayers on Shabbos, we stay in shul and we daven for that city. On a half, or if there's a river that's rising and it's endangering a city, so we pray for that city even on Shabbos. Val Sfina Mitarepet Bayam, or if we get word that there's a ship that's being knocked around at sea, like an egg that you scramble the egg, so too this ship is mitarefet, being scrambled at sea back and forth, and we don't know if they're going to make it out alive. So all the cities that are nearby stop what they're doing on Shabbos and get together to pray for that ship. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, what do those cities do? Lezra, they gather so that whoever could come and help that city or that ship. If the city is being surrounded, so we get everyone together on Shabbos to save the city. Or if there's a danger, like you guys remember the flood, when the Mississippi flooded? That's a real danger.
Did people do that?
So that that's what Rabbi Yossi says. But
did people do that?
Then? In Louisiana? I don't know.
I'm saying, but shoot other Jews then?
Sure. Sure, of course we help. But what Rabbi Yossi says is that this rule in the Mishnah is not to get people to daven on Shabbos, but rather we get them to unite to see how we can help. Shimon Atimni, Shimon from the city of Timna Somer, Af al Adever, we also pray over a plague on Shabbos, Lodu lo Chachamim, and the rabbi said, over a plague, we pray throughout the weekdays, but we don't have to make special prayers on Shabbat specifically. The rabbis didn't agree to Shimon HaTimni. Shimon HaTimni said over a plague we would blow on Shabbos.
That means and not give thanks to him when he came.
Hodu could also mean to admit.
That was my question. Admit?
Admit. Whenever you give thanks, you admit you needed it.
Which are more extreme cases. All these cases are very extreme. Immediate, very immediate danger. of the Koach Nefesh more? That's the Madhya, the underlying principle?
Right, yeah. But here we're talking about prayer because of the Koach Nefesh. Mishnachet. Al kol tzara shelo tavo al hatzibur matrin aleha. The Mishnah speaks in Lashon Sagi Nahor, right? What's a Sagi Nahor? How do we refer to a blind man? We say Sagi much Nahor light. We say he's a person who has much light, which is a way of reversing it. We never want to say it directly. So by the same token, we have a principle that when bad things happen in the world, they begin up in heaven, they come down as a thought, they evolve into speech, from speech into action. So we try not to say bad things. So instead of saying on any bad thing that happens, we say any bad thing that does not happen to the congregation. Matrin aleha. Now this includes physical danger, this includes monetary danger, or this includes spiritual danger. We get word that Chas v'Chalila, there's a decree going out. So then we blow. This is for you guys. For now, everyone's welcome to drink. Matlin aleha, we gather people in prayer over it. We take it seriously. We make a fast. We pray. We blow shofar. Chutz merov hagshamim. The only exception would be if there's too much rain. God gives us a blessing. It's raining, but it doesn't stop raining. It's good, 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 but now it's starting to be harmful. And what's the basis for this? Ma said the following story. Before we begin the story, we have to know some background. There was a prophet, one of the smaller prophets, three chapters. His name was Habakkuk. And Habakkuk, he saw how the Babylonian Empire would come and destroy the temple, how they'd be so successful, the Jews, millions would be lost and killed and intermarried and sold as slaves. And he saw how this wicked king would prosper and the Jews would be suffering at his hands. So he stood and he drew a circle in the sand and he said, God, I'm not stepping out of the circle till you explain to me how could it be that the righteous suffer and the wicked have it good. Tzadik v'ralo rasha v'tovlo. So God answers him. Chapter 1 is his request. Chapter 2 is God's answer. Chapter 3 is tefillah l'chavakuk, is his prayer, his apology. He realized that he went too far in making his request. How could it be that the righteous have it bad and the wicked have it good? That he went too far by drawing the circle in the sand. So we would think, don't draw circles in the sands. Don't talk to God that way, right? But we see that even though he erred, there was something right about what he did. Because our Mishnah tells us that there was a great sage named Choni. And he did the exact same thing. Maaseh, story occurred. Shamru lo lechoni ha-me'agel, hitvalel shiyoduk shamim. They said to Choni, and in a minute we'll understand why he got the nickname Choni, who drew the circle. Me'agel is drew the circle. And they told him, please pray that it should rain. Amar lehem, he said to the people, tzu v'achnisu tanroi fsachim, v'shvi shelo yimoku. Go bring in the Pesach ovens, because I don't want them to get ruined in the rain. What people did was, Pesach was the end of the rain season. So they take their ovens out of the houses. Now it was getting hot. And then they'd set them up outside. Now the way the ovens were built in the time of the Tanakh and in the time of the Mishnah was that they'd have this earthenware oven. It was wide on bottom and then get narrow toward the top. And they'd attach it to the earth. They'd attach it to the ground. And that way it retained its heat. And then they'd put a lot of wood on bottom, make the fire. And on the top they could put pots. And on the inside they'd stick their pitot. That's how they cook. They'd stick their pitot to the walls of this like teepee, of this like tent. That was the shape of the tanuk. But they'd attach it to the earth. So now if it's going to start raining, so the earth is going to get all muddy, and eventually the tanuk is going to get ruined. It's much better to cut it off while everything's still dry. So Choni said to them, I'm going to pray, but all of you have had your ovens outside all summer long. Ever since Pesach, you've had your ovens outside. I don't want your ovens to get ruined. Go bring them inside. Now here we see what a great tzaddik he was. He knew that if he davens, it's going to happen. He started praying. Didn't start raining. Masa, what did he do? Ag uga. He made a circle. He took a stick and made a circle in the earth. Damad betuchan, he stood inside it. Damar lefanav, and here you see the Mishnah says he drew the circle and then he stood inside it. Doesn't sound like he stood and then drew the circle. Now, if you want to think about that deeply, there's an important thought in that. There's the circle, and then he steps inside. The circle is not drawn around him. And when he steps into the circle, V'amar lefanav, he said before him, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the world, Banecha samu fenehem alai, your children placed their face in me, Shani kevin bayit lefanecha, I'm like a son in your home, Nishbani v'shimcha gadol, I swear by your great name, Sheni zaz mikan, that I'm not leaving here, Ad shetrachem al banecha, till you have mercy over your children. Ketzilu kshamim menatefin, started dripping, drizzling, Amar, Choni said, Lo chach shalti, I didn't ask for rains like that. Ela gishmei borot shechinu ma'arot. I wanted rains that would fill the wells. I wanted rains that would fill the pits. I wanted rains that would fill all the storage, the water storage utilities. Hitchilu lared bezaf. It started pouring down in anger. Amar Sochoni said, Lo chach shalti, I didn't ask for rain like that. Ela gishmei ratzon beracha umdava. But rather for rains that are of goodwill, of blessing, of nidava, something that you're donating to your children. Yalducha tikenan, so the rains came down as they should. And it rained, and it rained, and it continued raining. And it rained so much, ad sheyatzu Yisrael mirushalayim narabayit mifnei hagshamim. So the Jews had to leave Jerusalem to go up to the Temple Mount because it was raining so much. Ba'o ve'amaru lo, so they came to Choni and they said to him, k'shem sheitfalalt aleim sheyeredu, just as you prayed it should rain, you should also pray that they should go away. Enough, too much rain. Amar lahen, Choni said to them, Tzur, ru'u, go out and see. Im nimchet even hatoim, if there is this high stone that people used to stand on it to announce, I found something, a lost object, everyone would gather around that stone. If that got covered with rain, then I'll pray for it to stop. But he knew that it wouldn't get covered. And what he meant to say is it's impossible to pray and say, God, you've given me too much good.
Wait, repeat what you just said again.
He said to them, go look at that high stone and see if it's covered with rain. He knew that would never get covered with rain. And he said, if that gets covered, then I could pray for it to stop. And really, he was telling them, you never pray for too much good to stop.
In other words,
Go ahead.
In other words, if it was enough that it was going to damage, because if it was going to get higher than that place, then it would be like flooding and damaging.
Yeah, it wasn't. It just needed to stop.
No one wants to move out of their house. It's inconveniencing them. They can't plant. They're eating mushrooms all the time. They're not eating real food.
So they didn't have. It wasn't too much food.
Well, it was beyond the norm. It wasn't what anyone wanted. Shalach lo Shimon ben Shatach. The head of the court, Shimon ben Shatach. Now we know we could date him. Shimon ben Shatach was the brother-in-law of Yanai the king. He was during the period when all the rabbis were murdered. His sister hid him. Ilmalei choni ata, gozerani alecha nidui. If not for the fact that you're choni, I would declare you should be in halachic ostracization. For how do you talk to God? I didn't ask for this rain. I didn't ask for that rain. That's the way you ask. It does not seem that Shimon ben Shatach, the head of the courts, took him to task over drawing the circle. It seems he took him to task over the way he asked for this type of rain or that type of rain. Aval ma eselecha, but what can I do to you? I can't touch you, Shimon ben Shatach said. Shata mitchate lifnei makom, you, the way you behave before the omnipresent is improper, and nonetheless, voselecha ritzoncha, he does what you ask. Like a child that behaves improperly towards his father, and nonetheless he does what he wants. So you know what, I can't touch you. God approves. God's doing what you want. And about you the verse says, your father and your mother is a reference to your nation, will rejoice. Your father is your father in heaven, your mother is your nation, and she who bore you can also rejoice and be happy. So Shimon ben Shatach does not declare upon him ostracism. Remind me, if we have time at the end of our learning, we'll come back to the story. Nidui, that we don't walk within his four footsteps, we don't combine to a minion.
There's a lot of questions for this.
When a person's in nidui, we stay away from them.
Yeah, okay.
Mishnatet, hayu mitanim. What happens if everyone's fasting? Ve'aldunem kshamim, and then started raining. No, very good. That's what we're fasting for. Now what? Do we complete the fast or not? So the Mishnah says, kodem anetzachama, if it was before the crack of dawn, before you saw the ball of the sun, lo yashlimu, then we say, okay, we haven't started fasting yet today, so we don't finish fasting. We say that our fast was like preconditioned. If it starts raining, then we don't need to fast. Lachah anetzachama, but if it only started raining once it was day, yashlimu, then we say, okay, we started fasting today, so we finished today's fast. Rabbi Eliezer omer, kodem chatzot lo yashlimu. Rabbi Eliezer says the condition is different. It depends on whether we hit midday or not. If it was before midday, so then we haven't yet really felt the fast, so then God's indicating to us, you know, I don't want you guys to feel bad, I don't want you to fast, I'll give you the rain in the morning, and then we don't finish the fast. Lachar chatzot, but if the rain only came down in the afternoon, we're already suffering from the fast, and finally God, so to speak, says, okay, I'll give it to you. So then we say, you see, God isn't so happy with us, because at the end of the day, He let us suffer throughout this day before He gave it to us. So yashlimu, we say, let's finish the fast, because we still have what to fix.
Are these calculations appropriate?
You're asking on the Mishnah?
No, about the reasoning that the Rav gave.
Whether it's bifanim yachot or not.
Yeah, to be able to make calculations for God, whether He's...
Okay, so we could learn like Rashi, that after you've had half a day and fast, so that's like the Tanis has already been set. We've already accepted Tanis. Before midday, we say that some people haven't even reached the point where they eat. Some people eat 3 hours into the day if they're bandits. Some people eat 4 hours into the day if they're wealthy. Some people eat 5 hours into the day if they're workers. Some people eat 6 hours into the day. That's when they're learning Torah and they don't have time to eat till then. So until noontime, you still have people who don't feel the fast. They're still saying, you know, I it's not yet my breakfast hour. It's not yet my time to eat.
Wait, so why do bandits eat earlier than anybody else?
Good question. When we learn the Gemara and Shabbos, we'll learn that. So at any rate, till midday... He's got a good point. Okay. The Gemara says the following story. There was a rabbi who was approached with a question. Someone was appointed by the king to catch the robbers. So the rabbi told him, want to catch the robbers? I'll tell you what to do. You go to the bars and see who shows up real late for the bars. Whoever shows up real late, check him out. If he's a worker, he was working late into the night. If he's a sage, so he was learning late into the night.
And then he went to the bar?
If he's not as well, so their bars were... In those days, they had nothing to drink other than water and wine. It was either this or that. The bars weren't like our bars. So he's thirsty and he doesn't
pub,
make
pub.
They had respectable pubs. But if he's... if he's none of the...
women
didn't go, right. If he's none of the above, then you know why is he sleeping late. Because he's up late at night stealing. So then you catch him, he's the thief. So they heard this advice, and the Roman Empire was so impressed. They said, you rabbi, we appoint you, you got to catch the thieves. So he said, okay. So he took his own advice, and he went and started catching thieves, and he was doing such a good job. He was catching them. So the rabbi sent him, how are you killing Jews? You're executing Jews over your own formula. So he said, my formula is right. So they said, but they're Jews. So he said, but they're thorns in the crop. You know, we got to get rid of them anyways. So I'm just getting rid of the thorns in the crop. The king appointed me. What can I do? So they said, yeah, but they're God's crop. It doesn't work that way.
So, they were getting executed? Or just
yeah, they were getting executed. No, the Roman Empire played no games. If he said someone was a thief, because he showed up late to the pub, he was executed. End of story.
That's terrible. You can't do that for Jews.
So you're right. The rabbis also thought it was terrible.
So he
got worried.
And it's not one
which
was it?
Which was not one of the things that just hide me?
Oh, so he got worried.
Maybe put him, give him
he
a
got worried.
He
was worried. What should he do? So there was one guy who he set up, and then he said, okay, we'll take him down. He was unsure, maybe he should take him down. He ran after them and he found him in the gallows hanging dead. So this rabbi, there was one guy, he started having doubts. He said, you know, maybe they're right. So he ran after the guy, he shows up at the gallows, and it's too late, the guy's swinging dead. So he says, oh boy, what have I done? Maybe I went too far. So one of the bystanders tells him, rabbi, I was there, when he and his son took a girl that was engaged to marry someone else on Yom Kippur, and one after another they raped her. Don't worry, you're okay. This guy deserved the death penalty.
That was only one guy of all the other guys.
He said the same thing. He said, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not right. So he was very, very corpulent. And he
killed a bunch of others.
He asked them to give him a sleeping pill. They put him to sleep. They took out some of his fats and they put it out in the sun. And he had an operation to take out some fats, and he said, put it in the sun and let's see what happens.
Who?
This rabbi, he said, I want to check. I want to check if any of my fats can be touched by vermin. Do I deserve anything? Have I done anything wrong in my life? So they took his fats and they put them in the sun, and they let them sit there, the Gemara says, for days and weeks, and nothing happened. It never rotted, and no vermin rose in it, nothing. So he said, you see, if my fats are like that, that means when I die, no vermin will be able to touch my body. I've done nothing wrong.
What do you mean? I don't understand. It's not it's a Jew, and he's not on a Chayv Misa for stealing.
It's an excellent question, but the Roman Empire, they put their own laws, and if he wouldn't run the laws, someone else would run the laws. So you're asking an excellent question. This deserves its own class.
They should fight the Romans.
But my point was that Danny's point is 100% right. My whole point of the story was
not if it breaks the laws of the Torah.
To give them to Ayar
of the Famish Batik. Where's the taxes?
Why don't you say worse than that? Why isn't he a
Rode? You're talking about killing someone?
There's an actual case where they're trying to extradite two Mafionerim, Israeli Mafionerim.
Happened in the city of Lut. They made a fast. You have to understand. I'm quoting the stories now. You know more. You have more questions. You'll have to learn more. But we can't do everything in one foot. We have 20 minutes, and we got to finish the Masechet.
Why bandit first?
Okay. I backed up your question with the story that the bandits wake up late. That was the point of the story. Maaseh shegazut anit. How did he catch the bandits? Because they're showing up late to the pub.
They eat breakfast.
Right. So I'm saying it's a good question. Right. And I'm backing up your point. Right. Story happened. The rabbis made a fast in Lut. The Adulam Kshamim Kodem Chatzot. And it started raining before midday. So we saw it's a machloket. Tanakama holds, that's not enough. It's got to start raining before Nates. Rabbi Dezer holds, no, Chatzos is good enough. Amalem Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon, the Kohen Paskin. So Uvi, Chluhu, Shtuva, Su Yom Tov. Go out, eat, drink, make a holiday. Look, God accepted our prayers. V'yatzu, so they went out of shul, v'achlu, and they ate, they broke their fast, v'shatu, and they drank, v'asu yom tov, they made it into a holiday, uvau ben ha'obayim, and they all came back to shul in the afternoon, v'karu alel ha'gadol, and they read the great halel, hodu l'ashem kitov, that we say on Shabbos, and they gave thanks to Hashem, that Hashem answered their prayers and gave them rain.
What does it mean, halel ha'gadol?
That's Hodu Lashem Kito Kilo Olam Chasdo, Kilo Olam Chasdo, all the Kilo Olam Chasdos. What is that on Shabbos morning?
Not Halel Mamash.
There's Halel, that's called Halel Mitzrayim, and this is called Halel Agadol.